Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary the word fool, you'll find this definition: a person lacking in judgment or prudence. As you think about the way the word fool is sometimes used, especially as an insult, that definition seems to be a little bit light and easy sounding compared to the sting that that word can have if it's directed at us or if we direct it towards someone else. It hurts to be called a fool. And for such a word to be spoken by God, as we see here in our reading in reference to the rich man in the parable, well, there must be a very serious reason for God to use such a harsh and stinging condemnation or rebuke. And indeed, there is a very serious reason that God uses that. We see, as mentioned in regard to that reading, that a man in the crowd, when Jesus was teaching about spiritual truths, about the things of God's kingdom, of eternal life in heaven, this man interrupts Jesus with a request about something entirely different from what Jesus had just been speaking about, with a request about worldly wealth. So he asked Jesus to use Jesus' influence to tell this man's brother to divide their inheritance properly between the two of them. Jesus replies, saying, "Well, that's not really at all my place or my responsibility." Jesus was not an earthly ruler or judge to make that kind of determination. Jesus' focus was on preparing people's hearts for eternal life and to get people thinking about those eternal truths. And so Jesus replied by telling that parable about the rich fool. And that parable didn't just need to be heard by that man who made that inappropriate request of Jesus on that day, or by the crowd of other people who were standing around listening to Jesus teach, but it's also a timely reminder that each of us living some 2,000 years after those events also still need to hear that, especially us today who live in a far more materialistic world and society than the people of Jesus' time. So the lesson for them and for us is that it's far better to be rich toward God, to be rich in the things of God, than to be rich in the standards of this earthly life. Thinking that being wealthy in this life is really living is the fatal mistake of so many people of so many generations. That's really living. Have you ever said those words or thought those words or something like them? Maybe you thought that when you were driving past a palatial mansion out in the suburbs with a well-groomed lawn and an in-ground swimming pool with nice brand new cars in the driveway, a beautiful boat on a trailer, and you said, "That's the life. That's really living. I wish that I had it that good." I imagine that most of us have had that kind of feeling at various times in our lives. Is it wrong to be wealthy? Is being wealthy a sin? Many times we hear people misquote the Bible saying that money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil. If we correctly quote what God's Word says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So it's not a sin to be rich or to try to acquire earthly possessions and wealth, but it is a fatal mistake, it's a fool's mistake, to believe that the most important thing in life is to acquire and to enjoy material things only for their own sake. We see the rich man in the parable lived with one purpose in mind, with one goal in his life: owning bigger barns and being more successful in his occupation, getting the highest price that he could for the sale of his crops, in order to come to the point in his life when he could just sit back and say, "Well, now I've made it. Now I can take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. That is really living." Or so he thought. Well, in those 2,000 years between the time Jesus told that parable and now, has human nature changed very much at all? Is our sinful nature very much different? Haven't we raised a whole generation of young people to have as their life's goal to be successful in school so that they can be successful in work, so that they can get all the things that their hearts desire? That will be really living. It's upon that kind of thinking that our Lord pronounces the judgment of foolish, a fool's way of thinking. Why? Because such a way of life is so very disastrous if followed absolutely and taken to its conclusion. First of all, it blinds us to the fact that God, not man, not ourselves, is the real owner of every material thing. The rich man, as we see in his speech to himself, talks about my crops, my barns, my grain, my goods. However, God tells us very frequently in his word that we are only stewards, caretakers, or managers of what God gives to us. That it really all belongs to God, and he is simply entrusting us to take care of and to use well for a time of our lifetime on this earth. And God also reminds us that someday we will all have to give an account to him as managers of what he entrusts to us. And that view is also so disastrous because it blinds us to believing that material riches will actually satisfy the desires of our hearts. But that is not true. Instead, earthly possessions become cruel masters. And we quickly become slaves to those things that we own. They can drive us harder and harder. They prod us to always be seeking to acquire more and more. And that's why the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, issues this warning in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into complete destruction and utter ruin. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. By striving for money, some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. Also, having the acquisition of material things as the chief goal in our lives is disastrous because it also chokes our spiritual life. As we just mentioned, right before the man in the crowd asked Jesus this question about being the judge between him and his brother about their inheritance, Jesus had been teaching about some important spiritual truths. And this man just kind of comes out of nowhere and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So we see that was the chief concern that was obsessing his mind and was getting in the way of him listening to those more important, most important spiritual truths that Jesus had been teaching. And so also in the parable, the rich fool had his focus on barns, bigger barns, crops, better crops, and more of them. And then to eat, drink, and be merry. Look at the uncertainty of material things and of life itself. At the conclusion of that parable, Jesus says, "That very night God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be demanded from you. Now who will get what you have prepared?'" What a tragedy. What a disaster. Everything earthly had to be left behind. Yet tragically, that was all that rich fool had. He had nothing that he could take along with him. While he was alive, the things of God and of spiritual matters and eternal life were not important to him at all. Can you imagine how horrible it will be for such people to spend eternity in endless regret in hell? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "What will it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" So what does really living really consist of? Jesus points out that real living results from being rich in God. Being rich in God means that a person knows and understands and believes that the most important things in this life and for the life to come is believing in Jesus as your Savior. The Apostle John writes in chapter 6 of his gospel, recording the words of Jesus who said, "I am the bread of life." And with those words, Jesus teaches us to fix our eyes mainly upon Him and to think of Him first and foremost, above all other things. He is the center of all things, both physical and spiritual. In these times when the world has gone mad with materialism and with the idols of human thought, it's wise for us to stand steadfast in our conviction that only Jesus, the bread of life, truly satisfies and provides all that we need. The rich fool in the parable was concerned about building bigger barns in order to store grain. His view was that that physical food, that earthly grain, was the bread of life. But unfortunately, he completely overlooked the fact that Jesus alone is the true bread of life. That knowing and believing in Jesus is the only way to truly be rich, rich in God. That is really living. Jesus meets all the wants and all the needs of our life. As the bread of life, Jesus supplies all our physical needs and our spiritual needs as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And He promises to give to us also all the things we need for body and life. Your needs and your wants can all be met by one thing. By Jesus Himself, in whom dwells all the fullness of all the spiritual and physical needs that our lives require. If we get a hold of Jesus, if we feed on Him and on His Word, He is sufficient for us, sufficient for great tasks and sufficient also for our times of struggle, of anguish, of grief, and of sorrow. If you feed upon Jesus and His Word, He will build you up and He will provide for you all the necessities of life, both physical life and spiritual life. If there's anyone who wants to know this bread of life that came down from heaven and how satisfying it is, and what they need to do is to taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is why Jesus left the glory and majesty of heaven that was His by right as the eternal Son of God. And He humbled Himself and came to live here on this sinful earth among sinful human beings as a true human being, so that we might join Him in being partakers of all of His glory through the price that He paid for us in our place. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree of the cross. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. He has done away with all sin by making full atonement of God's divine justice. And so there is now no condemnation for us who are in faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. When we feed on this bread of life, on Jesus Himself, and His forgiveness and salvation, then we will never die. Yes, we may fall asleep in physical death, but we will awaken immediately to immortality with God in the bliss of heaven. God gives us this bread of life as a free gift. We give nothing, we pay nothing for it, but we gain everything by that gift of His grace. From the beginning of life to the end of life, there is nothing that we can do or that we can pay to earn our own salvation. Instead, God has loved us with an everlasting love in Christ Jesus our Savior. And for us who are rich in God because of what Jesus has done for us, the Holy Spirit now moves in our hearts to prompt us to want to be rich toward God and toward others in return. To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and to dedicate our whole lives, our whole selves, to His service and to the service of others. Instead of desiring earthly wealth, we should pray for people who do not yet recognize that in spite of their earthly wealth, they really are ultimately still poor, wretched sinners apart from Jesus, until they trust in Him as their Savior. Having tasted of Jesus, the bread of life, let's always believe in Him, trust in Him, and go to Him in prayer in every time of need, and to praise and give thanks to Him. Taste of Him and His blessings, and you will praise and thank Him for the abundant blessings that He showers upon us throughout our earthly lives. And when He returns on the last day, He will raise our bodies back to life and glorify them, and then He will call us to be with Him in the eternal blessings that He has prepared for us, which He will fully reveal to us at His side in heaven. Until then, the more time you spend with Him in His Word and receiving the sacrament of His body and blood, the more your soul will be filled and nourished, strengthened, and satisfied. He will satisfy your soul, and your mouth will praise Him with joyful lips, living each day in full confidence of the eternal riches that Jesus has already won for us. That is really living. Amen.